Welcome to Rights Watch, a program about human rights around the world from Human Rights Watch. I'm Jesse Graham. Is Guantanamo forever? It's the 10th anniversary of the U.S. Detention Center. Today, I'm speaking with two experts on Guantanamo about violations of rights in the name of U.S. counterterrorism policy. We'll hear from Bahar Azmi, legal director at the Center for Constitutional Rights, but first to Andrea Prasow. She's senior counterterrorism counsel at Human Rights Watch. Andrea, you recently wrote a piece called Guantanamo Forever. You weren't really talking just about Guantanamo. You're talking about the National Defense Authorization Act, the bill that President Obama signed into law on the new year. What are your concerns about that law?
You know, that law enshrines into the U.S. legal system the idea of indefinite detention without charge or trial. Before it was happening, it was terrible, but we knew it was happening in Guantanamo. But now that the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, is law, it's been codified inside the U.S. legal system that we can detain people indefinitely without charge or trial for the duration of some undefined hostilities. I just ask people to think about why we have laws in this country. Think about the authority of the state and what it can do and why we have a legal system. I think people think of the men in Guantanamo or those captured in Afghanistan or Yemen, elsewhere, as very differently situated from them. But the reality is the laws we have are designed to protect the innocent as well as the guilty, to protect American citizens and foreign citizens. And we need to think very seriously about the implications of a change to those laws. The codification of indefinite detention means that not only someone we may think is a terrorist, but you or I might be held indefinitely without charge and without trial.
And so looking at where we are sort of in the war on terror, as it's called, looking back 10 years since Guantanamo was opened, where are we with these issues, issues like indefinite detention?
From my perspective, we're in a really bad place. And to me, it's somewhat of a paradox because here we are 10 years after 9/11. Osama bin Laden's been killed. We're, you know, purportedly entering peace negotiations with the Taliban. The administration touts that al-Qaeda is effectively destroyed. Yet with the passage of this legislation and other kinds of executive actions like drone strikes, the executive branch now, 10 years later, has almost more, has been given more power than it had 3 months or a year after 9/11. And so we really have to puzzle about the sort of endless component, the endless and expansive component of this war and U.S. militarism in general.
You both spent a lot of time in Guantanamo, or not in Guantanamo, but you represented detainees there. President Obama vowed to close Guantanamo, but it's still open. How many people are still there and why are they still there?
Yeah, it's a great question. Well, as of today, there are 171 men still detained in Guantanamo. 89 of them have been cleared for transfer by this administration. They are supposed to go home, either to their home countries or, in the case of some detainees who would face torture or other abuse in their home countries, they need to be resettled. Yet they are still sitting in Guantanamo. And there are a variety of reasons for that. Some of that has to do with restrictions that Congress has enacted in this year's NDAA, in last year's NDAA. So Congress is partly responsible for restricting the use of Defense Department funds, but the administration, the president, is also responsible for not taking really decisive action to close Guantanamo the way he promised he would on his second day in office.
It's been approximately a year since anyone has been voluntarily transferred from Guantanamo, and that marks the longest period of time, including during the Bush administration, that no one has been transferred from Guantanamo. Who is let go doesn't necessarily depend on the seriousness of the charges against them. It's often a political determination. So we're now hearing reports that the United States is negotiating over the release of five Taliban detainees who are high-level Taliban officials. And yet there are people with the most preposterously attenuated associations to the Taliban or terrorism in general who won't get out because there's no genuinely rational or judicially managed process in Guantanamo. It's subject to the political whim of the executive and you know, fear-mongering generated by Congress to cow the executive from taking the kind of actions he promised he'd take 3 years ago.
Is the problem that Americans just don't care about people who are you know, detained in Guantanamo or are going through these legal procedures? Is that part of the problem?
Unfortunately, yes. I mean, I think it's worth puzzling for how the momentum around Guantanamo shifted a little bit. Obama, as the candidate, pledged to close it. He railed against the excesses of the Bush administration. It seemed that he had a lot of popular support behind him. It's almost as if now that there is a more sort of thoughtful face behind these policies, and in light of other very serious concerns the American electorate has, people have ceased to really care about Guantanamo and the individuals there. And that's sort of a frightening prospect. Now, I used to teach U.S. constitutional law at Seton Hall Law School, and it occurs to me that this generation of first-year law students, say 24 years old, will have spent the majority of their adult, politically awake lives with an institution like Guantanamo in existence. And it's going to be so much harder to explain to them how incredibly anomalous this place is in the American constitutional human rights tradition when they see it as utterly ordinary to their experience. And I find that really worrisome.
I think that's a really great point. The New York Times had a review last week of a new book about a quote-unquote fashion terrorist, a satirical novel of someone who gets sent to Guantanamo. And I was reading about that thinking, I can't believe that Guantanamo is such a part of popular culture that you can write a satirical novel about someone being sent there. And of course, over the years, we've had, Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo and so on. But I think it's right that for young adults today, Guantanamo just is. The idea that the U.S. holds people without charge, without trial, and might hold them for the rest of their lives is part of what they have grown up in. They accept it. And I think it's that much more important for those of us who are opposing it to remind people what this means. Not only that it's morally wrong, but that it's legally wrong, that it violates both U.S. and international law, and that we can't accept it. We have to work to change it.
So this is our new normal, I guess. But what do you say to those 20, 25-year-olds, 24-year-olds? What is the case that you make that they should care about this, that this is not a tradition that they want to uphold?
I think it's indisputable that dozens, if not hundreds, of the men originally detained in Guantanamo were entirely innocent. But more important, the idea that the government could decide on its own without any sort of oversight that these people should be detained indefinitely, I think, is the most troubling. And the fact that so many were innocent, the fact that so many have been released, points to how important judicial review is, how essential it is that an independent body, judge, arbitrator, someone take a look at these cases and determine whether or not there's a legal basis for someone's detention. One of the things that I think a lot of the lawyers have heard from their clients over the years is the client saying, just give me a trial. Just charge me with something. If I've done something wrong, give me a trial. Because at least a trial and even a really lengthy sentence would provide some sort of closure, which they don't have when they're held indefinitely. Many of these men have been told they will be held, essentially, it's at the king's pleasure. When the administration decides to let someone go, they will be let go. And until that time, they sit in Guantanamo, potentially for the rest of their lives.
That was Andrea Prassow. She's Senior Counterterrorism Counsel at Human Rights Watch. I also spoke with Bahar Azmi. He's the legal director at the Center for Constitutional Rights. And that's Rights Watch for today. Human Rights Watch is an independent organization dedicated to defending and protecting human rights around the world. For more about us, including audio, video, and multimedia features, please visit hrw.org. You can download our podcast on iTunes, and please send your questions and comments to podcast@hrw.org. Thanks for listening to Rights Watch. I'm Jesse Graham.